Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson, with
Dave Jaggs.
There we go.
New intro.
New intro. Welcome back, everyone. It's been a while, and me and Dave have been pondering the background and realizing we need to get our A into G, really, and get the podcast back up and running, because we have had some really good feedback from people, some of our staff, and some people actually have come to us at Right Wave, been listening to it, and said, oh, it's been really interesting. And we get some good feedback from customers and business owners. So we're back. So for everyone who's listening, we are going to have a little bit more structure around the podcast. We're recording this on a Wednesday, but you will be listening to us every Thursday is the goal. Weekly, there'll be a Thursday episode. The episode we're going to kind of keep to about half an hour, unless that we are sort of thinking of some interview kind of stuff with some guests and stuff, which might be a bit longer. But what we are going to do is pick a topic each week, which we feel is relevant for business owners. Some of that may be topical stuff that's in the news, or it's a specific thing that's more of a bigger picture stuff. Maybe it's about an educational aspect around knowing your financials, marketing, etc. So I guess we are wanting to make sure we're a source of information, thought provocation. Is that a word? I think so. And ideas. So yeah, that's the thought. So is that a good summary, Dave? Do you think of what we're trying to do here?
That's a very good summary. And going on the fact that you've just broadcast it live, I'm pretty sure that means we have to be held.
I was thinking that if we say it, then when people go, where's the podcast? What's it? Accountability measures that people need to put in life, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, we're already a day late because I had a sick household to nurture yesterday, so I'm already putting us under pressure.
Exactly, but we are committed, yeah. And we've moved the schedule around to make sure we can record. So first question, Dave, before we get into our kind of main topic conversation is any client success stories, or what's any good client conversations you've had this week that you wanted to share with our listeners? Because I've got one. I've prepared this question knowing my answer, not prepared Dave. The last question of Dave.
What success stories have I had this week? I don't know if it's so much success stories, but I'm off to Auckland tomorrow. So I'm based down in Tauranga for a half-day strategy session, which I'm looking forward to. And that's with a company who is looking to probably sell in about 12 months time.
Yeah.
So it's actually really good that they're identifying the fact that they want to sell. So we're actually going to go in early and start putting together all those systems, all of some pieces that actually make it a really sellable product to someone, rather than kind of, hey, I want to sell next month, and then suddenly panicking because they need to kind of unpick their lives from it.
Yeah,
that's really good fun. And it's kind of, you know, getting stuck into some pretty meaty work, which is going to be good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, the one I lined up for my own question was, I thought of, you know, what were the conversations I've had in the last week or so, and what's worth all our listeners thinking about. And the one I was, is a client I had a conversation with Thursday last week, I think it was. And the theme of it is managing your clients' expectations. And in this situation, they signed on quite a good size new client. They're a service-based business. It's all service-based. And it's in, you know, they sign up quite a good size engagement. You know, we're talking $4,000 or $5,000 a month for this client and the services that they're receiving from our client. But they're about 3-4 months into the engagement, and there's, I guess, a misalignment on what success looks like in some ways and the results. Yep. And what they do, they're in marketing. So there is a lot, you know, there's good tangible data now in marketing to do that. And so we talked about that and said, well, how do we make sure that there's not this misalignment beforehand? So we went back and talked about sales process and on onboarding. So he's looking a lot about that. But I guess it kind of really brought home to me that when you engage with new customers, especially when there's significant amounts of money on the table, and especially in service-based industries, it's just being really clear on what is the expectations out of this, making sure that's documented, making sure you've got, if you can quantify that. Some things aren't quantifiable, I get that part. But if you can quantify it, but also making sure you've got good communication if things are changed, because what out of this engagement, they've got a result in mind and they're looking at that from a marketing spend, but there is also some aspects in the system and processes which need some work, which would increase that result as well, which is not just linked to ads. So it's also how you make sure you're fully aware of everything within that business, which might affect their results. So I think it's always good to think about client expectations, how you manage that through the sale process and onboarding, I think is my
lesson. People always want more.
They always want more.
If you deliver X for X, they're going to want a little bit more for X. So it's having those documented kind of things at the start so you can always draw back to it.
Yeah. So that was my story for the week. So the discussion point, which is literally every headline that is on the news that is not about the war in Ukraine, is the cost of living crisis, interest rates, the official cash rate, inflation, etc. So we've already done a little bit of an episode on this 6 weeks ago, quite a while, but me and Dave thought it is worth us discussing it again. And Dave, do you want to talk about the lenses that we're going to kind of go through today?
Well, I guess,
on this?
I think last time when you spoke about it with old QZ, it was a little bit more just kind of actually discussing what it really is. Whereas I think we want to be a little bit more around, well, what does it mean and what can you be doing to kind of secure yourself in this situation and actually leverage off it? Because, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. And if you're in a good position, now's the time to move, in my opinion. So, yeah. So I guess for us, there came kind of three kind of main areas. One is your business financing. So what does that look like and how's it going to be affected? Second is going to be customer spending and what you need to kind of take into consideration on that front. And then the third one, I guess, which is something that I'm more passionate about, is the business opportunities.
Yeah.
And what you should be doing within your business to kind of leverage off and move on, or kind of, you know, use it to secure your position within the market.
Yep. Cool. And I've me and Dave have been doing a bunch of research before this, and I've geeked out on stats. I feel like I was doing my economics papers back in university again, which in no way makes me qualified. But there were some interesting things. So I I'll put the link in the show notes. I read the Westpac economic update, and they do a fortnightly weekly update. And I read the one from 9th of May, which focused a lot on the employment aspect that we're dealing with. And as we know, most people, we're struggling to hire at the moment. If you've got vacancies, we know that the market is very tight. And obviously that's linked a little bit to the immigration aspect. But to put that in perspective, our unemployment level is at 3.2% at the moment. This is the lowest equal level of unemployment since 1986, which is when we started recording unemployment in the current way we do. So when we say that unemployment is tight, it is correct. It is backed up by data. The other part they've made in that commentary is that they have now saying that the labor market has now become unsustainably tight. Now that is a little, you know, they are saying, Westpac, from an economic point of view, that for growth to happen, we cannot carry on as we are. But the other part that we talked about was recently, obviously, the cash rate, official cash rate, has gone up to 1.5%, and interest rates are rising. Westpac are predicting that the official cash rate will be up to 3% in 2023. So we do know other increases are potentially over the next 24 months. So we do know that interest rates are on the rise. Inflation is high. We're obviously hovering around 7% roughly, which is quite high. Very high considering we've been in the low inflationary world for a long time. And look, inflation, you know, we're not going to get into politics or whatever, and if it's homegrown or not, but there is still things in supply chain which is massively, you know, China has a zero COVID policy still, and so they are on big lockdowns, and that obviously is the manufacturing part of the world. So there is still stuff going on here. And I think the one thing that I would, you know, as Dave said, look, we want to be positive in this podcast, but I think one of the things we've got to be open-eyed to is what's going on. Is this is how geeky I got. I went to Stats New Zealand to look at all the quarterly GDP results growth numbers. So to put in perspective, yes, over the last 24 months, we had periods of negative GDP because that way we were in lockdown. We were, you know, we couldn't buy things. So, but often we saw really good rebounds from through that period. But before 2020, we have not had negative GDP growth since 2010, which was coming out of the 2008 financial crisis. So we have had a long period of time of sustained economic growth in the country and globally. So the world we are potentially moving into, and that's the concern with rising in interest rates, with inflation, is that recession could happen out there, not guaranteed, obviously, is, you know, people are a bit tighter with their money, which is what we're going to get into, which is Dave's put a lot of work into. Well, what does this mean if consumers are spending a little bit less, if things are becoming a bit tighter because the mortgage payments are a bit higher, my bank lending and my loans in my business are a bit higher, what does that mean? So what were we going to start with? I guess that's the overview of where we're at, everyone, to start with.
So I guess the logical place to start is business financing, which to me is just kind of the one that everyone should be looking at right now. And that's probably the starting point for other things that kind of move on. So I guess if you've got finance for your business, going on the fact that things are likely, well, I was on a BNZ with the BNZ economist the other day, and they were saying that it's probably likely to be a couple of years of in and around this kind of area. So whether it's going to be growth, how high it's going to push, we don't know. But you want to be kind of taking that into account, that now's the time to refinance. If things are coming up soon, I would 100% start looking at it and push on with that.
So I guess alongside that, David, is the suggestion, lock it in, get some certainty about your interest rate, go for longer rather than shorter.
Well, it gives you certainty on your position, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you might be kind of gone is the day now where it's like, well, I'm just going to wait and see how low it's going to go.
It's going to go lower. It's going to go lower. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I remember like looking at interest rates and they were back in the just nudging under 2%. It's like, I'll sit just a little bit longer.
And that wasn't that long ago, if you think about it. It wasn't that long ago. No.
So I think that's probably the right place to start, is to look at your financing, if you've got financing, that is, and then actually start to think about, okay, now's the time to lock it in, to create a period of certainty so that you know what your overheads are looking like for the next kind of next 2-3 years at a minimum. And then I think also, if you are not in the position where you've got finance and you've got cash in your accounts, now's the time to actually look at putting it into some form of investments, because actually over time, it's going to start swinging back in your favor in those kind of term deposits and stuff like that. You know, we've gone through that period of interest rates being so low that it's returning nothing in the bank, that actually it will start to return something in the bank. And when you've got like that volatility in the global kind of economy right now, actually the banks aren't going to be too bad a bit.
Yeah.
So definitely an interesting time to start reconsidering those kind of options.
And I think that's a good point, David, because we've swung from, you know, cash was, I'm not saying it's worthless, but because you got so little return on it, it was hard. You know, obviously the share market and investments you're making there was going gangbusters until recently. That's now softened a lot. There's a lot come back in around that area. So I guess this has all changed quite quickly from the 2% interest rates to now. I looked yesterday, ANZ floating rates at 5.54. And so that's only going to go up over the next year or so with those floating rates. So people have to really think about one investment, but also, as you said, locking in certainty. I think that's a big thing, isn't it? Like, not irrelevant at the rate, but getting certainty. Okay, this is the amount of outgoings I've got every month for the next 24 months, 18 months, whatever it is. Once you've got that, you can plan. And work around that and put it into your forecasting, et cetera, isn't it?
You can start to come up with weekly budgets and so on and so forth. And, you know, one, we're talking about business financing, but even if it's like rental financing, you know, with the current interest rate, you might have to top up $30 a week, $40 a week, do you know what I mean? Depending what it is. However, that might not be the case in 6 months' time. You might be topping up more. So you might be better off just controlling what your kind of mortgage rate is now rather than pursuing it a bit later on. Definitely. It's pushing into an interesting time.
That's for sure. And I think I can personally reflect to that. I've owned property we're in our second home for 12 years now, 13 years, 12 years, something like that. And for 12 years, the interest rate has only ever gone down. Like, that's crazy, isn't it? Like, it's a long time. And I, you know, I remember it was like, God, 4% is cheap. Oh, I get that. You know, like, but it is a psychological thing, I think, more than anything, of what we're seeing now and the change that we're seeing now, obviously, with the market dipping a little bit in property and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
it is quite interesting, though, isn't it? I would say I'm selling my house at the moment. It's currently on the market. And I was chatting
with my lawyer. Yes, if anyone wants a nice house in Papamoa, check out Dave.
Go for it. I was chatting with my lawyer the other day, and it's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because, I remember back in my day when the interest rates were 13%. Blah, blah. And I'm like, it's kind of like you're comparing apples and tomatoes, though, isn't it? They're both fruit, but they're not the same. It's like, you might have had 13% on a mortgage that was 130,000 or 200,000. Yeah, exactly. It's like the mortgage rates for most people nowadays are not that. So a shift by 1 or 2% is massive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that we know, especially with the level of house prices have got to, the amount of debt that's probably, you know, and I know there's a lot, I can't remember the stats, but I do know, you know, as a country and globally, the amount of debt has always been increasing, especially household debt. So there's more debt out in the world.
I guess the kind of the next thing for me, and this is something I've been dealing with over the last couple of weeks with clients in particular, because, you know, the good times have gone for a little while. They'll come back, but they've gone at the moment. So other than like looking at your financing and things like that, really, it's actually considering the next thing for me is your assets. It's like, are they returning?
Yeah.
Because if they're not returning, it's probably time to move them on. So like, I was working with one company a couple of weeks ago who he's kind of in the manufacturing businesses, and he bought a whole bunch of assets, and he primarily bought them to just take them out of the market to stop other people being able to
really
produce against them. Yeah. And, you know, wanted to like secure them for a longer term and be able to produce in that kind of realm as well. However, he's got these assets now that are sat there. They've taken a huge cash chunk out of his bank balance, but they're not actually returning anything. And, you know, maybe that was something you could do back then when money in the bank wasn't you earning anything. But now, if you're going to take on financing, you're going to take cash out of your bank account, it actually needs to return.
Yeah. Because it's,
So I think that's something that's a real key one for me, is if you need like new tooling, if you need to go out and kind of spend up on new assets in the way of computers or things like that, it's like, is it actually going to return in productivity or in increasing your revenue?
And I think that's the thing with an environment with money being so cheap, to be brutally honest, you know, taking a loan out, making that investment. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not saying we've been flippant about it or anything like that, but, you know, one, that loan now is going to be far more expensive, and hence the return has to be more than what it would have been 12 months ago. So it's a really good point, Dave, on that.
Yeah. Like, you actually have to start taking that stuff into consideration. Things need to return now. You know, it's got to be taken into consideration. And potentially, if not, now's the time to flick that stuff off and bring some cash back into bank balance, because I think cash is going to be king for the next couple of years.
I guess that goes on to the next, which I think is a really interesting conversation, is consumer spending. And I guess different businesses will be affected potentially different ways depending on where they are in certain consumer trends and chains, probably, and how you're linked to that and who your customer is. But do you want to? You found an interesting kind of simple graph. I'll see if we can get the link.
I'll find the link, or we can post it somewhere that people can find it.
But there's kind of, Dave found this kind of cool table, which just kind of expresses, hey, if this is your mortgage, what your payments will change depending on the interest rates.
So I guess the first thing with consumer spending is understanding the fact that right now, the people that you potentially want to sell to have got less money. And over the next couple of years, they're going to have less money. So they're going to be sitting down looking at their bank balance every week and going, ooh, do I want to spend that? And the primary driver is interest rates or mortgages. And at some point, I'd be surprised if that didn't kick on to people who are renting and so on and so forth. So if we kind of just, I literally just chose a couple of random figures. So if you've got a mortgage of 500K and you had it at 2.5% interest rate, okay, and then that shifts up to a 5.5% interest rate, which is very likely going on, that's going to equal an extra $10,000 a year going out.
It's a lot of money.
So you have to find that from somewhere. And that's kind of what we mean by that consumer spending. So the cost has gone up and they've got to find that money from somewhere. And then I guess the danger is, over the last few years with kind of soaring house prices, it's also perfectly feasible that people have got mortgages up towards that 700k mark. And if you did that same increase from 2.5% to 5.5%, they've got to find an extra $14,000 a year.
Yeah, and I think it's the same. It's not. They're not getting anything extra for that.
No.
And I think and each business will be different in how they will. Inflation and interest rates will affect them. And you think about it, okay, if I'm a cafe or I'm in a restaurant, a hospitality, that sort of type of business where I'm dealing with a lot of the consumer market, am I potentially going to have one less lunch serving? Is my lunch going to drop because I've got less people coming in for lunch? That's a question. But there's also going to be huge amounts around the demographics of where you're located, etc. Like Remuera versus... I don't know. Yeah. Albany, different, like, different demographics, different things. So you've got to think about that. But then I also think, even if you're in a B2B business, a business to business, say I'm a provider to Sky for something, I don't know, but Sky's a customer of mine. It would be foolish not to think that Sky is probably a spend that could be affected because of the cost of living, because it is a discretionary spend. It's nice to have. And if you're a Warriors fan, you probably don't want Sky at the moment anyway. So, there's things like that that impact you, obviously. But if you're a Blues fan, you will want Sky, because we are top of the table and we're amazing. So Sky have reduced revenue because of a bit more churn than they normally have, then hey, what's that mean for their commercial budgets and stuff? Now, obviously that ties into their strategy and where they want to invest. So it's bigger picture than that. But it's quite quickly, you can see down the supply chain of different people that interact with different consumer bases on how that can affect your business. So maybe it's your signage supplier to Sky or something, and they go, well, I might not be doing as much of that or whatever. So I think it's pertinent for everyone just to sort of think about that.
I think you just need to ensure that you're reviewing what you do and who you offer to, because there's going to be a lot of people out there whose budgets are getting tighter. There's also going to be a lot of people out there whose budgets aren't really changing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Completely.
So I think you just need to really identify who are you selling to and what is their current situation.
Correct. Yeah.
Are you a discretionary product or are you something that is 100% needed? With the gym physio clinic side of things, I used to own. I used to deal with this guy who used to help us out, Jamie. And I remember literally saying to him one day, it's like, can you just send me your credit card statement? I need to know where your wife goes, because that's the places I needed to advertise.
Yep.
It was like, who's got disposable income? Where do they go? Because they're the places that I need to be advertising.
Correct. Correct.
So yeah, I guess for any business out there right now, it's actually thinking about who is your target audience. Do they still have cash? How is that going to affect you? And if they're likely people who are going to be kind of feeling the pinch a bit more, it's like, well, how can you change your product to service them? Or how do you reposition yourself in the market so that you start targeting other people?
Correct. And I think...
which is a conversation we had before we even started, really, isn't it?
And I think it's a big part, it's a really good point, Dave, is that it's very easy to make broad brushstrokes around that. And the press love this. They love a big broad brushstroke. But, increased interest rates, increased cost of living aspects, it affects different segments of the demographics hugely differently. And if you've got no debt, then interest rates are irrelevant to you in the sense of from a loan point of view. So if I've not got no debt, I don't have to worry about it. So
they're probably going to end up better because money in the bank's going to end up returning.
Correct. People with money still have money. It is an interesting time just to think about, but that might change who your target type of customer is. So if you are a builder, the first home buyer who's wanting to do those initial renovations might not be doing them now. Let's use that as an example. Whereas they always get ostracized, the boomers, who are probably mortgage free, they're still mortgage free. So they might still do the investments, might be a bit more mindful, but I think it's just, that's a very crude example, but it is just still thinking differently about what's going on in the areas you operate in, depending on where your business is at.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's really just an interesting thing to think about. Like, discretionary and things that people want, and how you potentially pair them together into a sales package. You know, there is going to be a product out there, say for example physiotherapy, that's something that people need.
Yeah.
So how can you pair that with something that they might not actually go, oh, I don't really need that. So pair it up with a gym class, or
yes, you know,
say like, I don't know, going to get your legs waxed, which I'm pretty sure every female out there is going to argue that they need, with getting your eyebrows tinted or something.
Do yeah. You
know what I mean? How do you, like, it's the McDonald's. Do you want fries with that?
Isn't
it? But like, put it at a point and then just repackage it. So it's like, well, actually, we're just going to reduce the amount of time or something. So actually, we're not really losing out, but actually, we're just keeping things turning over to create that point of difference for your marketing and your sales.
And it comes back to value versus cost as well. A conversation about you know, in your business, making sure that you understand your value proposition to your customers. You can articulate that really, really well. So you know, they're not looking at this as a cost, they're looking at it as an investment, which is again lovely, lovely buzzwords. So I guess, as you said, Dave, we don't want to be doom and gloom. We want to be, you know, I think we're realists with what we just said. I don't think we're negative. We're just realists. I'm going to go with that line. But as business owners, you know, one, you know, most business owners, you know, all businesses are based on good people. And so good people are hard to come by. So linking the two aspects here of, one, how do I get good staff? You know, things are rising, but how do people make the best of, what's the silver lining, Dave, out of this situation? Well,
for me, there's a couple, and this is something that I would have definitely been thinking if I was still kind of in the owner operator world right now. And that is, if you are debt free, now is potentially the time to double down and really push on and forge ahead, because there's going to be other businesses within the same market as you who are going to be financed pretty
highly.
They're going
to be restricted now.
And they're going to be really restricted in their growth. So, you know, this extra finance that they're having to pay may come from marketing budgets, or it may come from other bits and pieces. So if you're in a good spot, I think now's the time to double down and push on.
Yep.
You know, you're going to get a lot of extra kind of return for increased marketing and increased workforce, just because, you know, there's going to be less noise in the market.
Yep.
Would be, I guess, the right way of putting it. So that's one thing. I also think, again, I guess a lot of this comes down to, if you're in a good spot. I think also, if you're in a good spot, now is the time that investing into your staff and your culture will have a massive return. You know, because all of your employees, potentially their budgets are getting tighter. They're getting tighter by the day with interest rates rising. So now is the time that doing some simple things can actually have a really massive kick on to them. So something that I was speaking about with you is, you know, a lot of people pay out for gym memberships, and actually people being fit and healthy is good for you as an employer. Yeah. You know, a fit, healthy workforce is normally a happy workforce and a productive workforce. So they're all paying out for gym memberships, and say you had 40 or 50 people paying out $40, you know, that's quite a lot. However, if you brought a personal trainer into your business two or three times a week for pretty much $60, actually, yeah, okay, that's got a reasonable kick onto you of probably somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 a year. But actually, you're saving your staff far, far more. And, you know, you will be rewarded for that.
Yeah.
By retaining good staff, which I think is really, really important. And that's just one example. I was actually looking at a few other things. Tarring City Council did a e-bike purchasing scheme.
So what, talk us through that, Dave. Talk us through the logistics.
They basically worked out everyone in the staff force who wanted an e-bike to help kind of reduce fuel costs. They went and just sourced quotes for, I think it worked out as almost 30 e-bikes. So they obviously got a really, really good deal. And then they did repayment plans.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they just took it out of weekly pays. But you think that's a direct saving to most of your staff in the fact of, on an e-bike, you can pretty much commute as fast as a car.
Yeah.
If it's set up right. I'm not saying you want to cycle everywhere within New Zealand, but then actually providing the opportunity to pay it back through your pay is a really good incentive to your staff, and it secures your staff for a reasonable amount of time.
And the one you also put here, I thought was quite, is coffee. And it's funny, I was just trying to Google it.
This is something we did at Beyond. So I remember we did this big revamp after the first kind of lockdown. We redid the staff room. we went out and bought a Breville barista coffee machine, you know.
Yeah.
But then we actually just put milk on order and we got a coffee subscription with Raglan Roast. And I think I worked out that between the milk and the coffee, it cost us $50 a week. Yep. And this is kind of taking out, I think it was probably about $700-$800 for the machine. But for, I think it was like, I can't remember, well, you know, we had probably 6 or 7 primary coffee drinkers at work. But you, that's a lot of saving. Sorry, all the coffee shops around us.
Yeah, but it is,
$5 a piece.
And you do it every day, $25.
They thought it was brilliant. And the staff thought it was brilliant. But also from the random side of it is the fact that everyone used to sit down and have a coffee together. Or one person would go and make it for everyone, which I thought was brilliant.
Because I was just, sorry, well, the reason I was a little distracted there, Dave, it links to a point yesterday, I think it was, and I've kind of got the headlining act to it. It was yesterday, Office Max ran a survey, because, and it was linked more to getting people back into the office, because we're open up a bit more now, and how do people get them out of home? And I can't find the exact stat here as I try to skim read a massive report, but one other thing was, talking about, and this links to what you're saying about savings to your staff, but one of them was, here's a quote, having clean hygienic spaces, quiet areas, and a good cup of coffee were also essential for most staff. So part of this also is, you know, that whole balance between work from home and coming to the office is making your office also a welcoming place to come in. And also, then also it means that also they're not having to go and buy their coffee from the coffee shop. So, you know, it's, I'll put the link to that survey as well.
I guess the main thing from how you can like work with those staff is like your staff are going to potentially have to look at reducing discretionary spending. And some of that is going to be good and some of that is going to be bad. You know, they probably don't need to buy all the coffees within a week. However, I would like to think that they still go to the gyms, keep themselves fit and healthy, that they're not getting so tight that they can't afford stuff like that. And, you know, maybe getting a personal trainer isn't an option. However, could you leverage off the size of your business and approach someone like 2Degrees or Spark or Vodafone and be like, I need X amount of phone plans.
Yeah, true.
And then just roll the cost on. So you're not actually paying for it yourself, but as a bigger entity with buying power, you can go and do something. Now, maybe it's not phone plans. Maybe it's health insurance or life insurance or something along those lines. Like, I think now is just the time to, for potentially a little bit of effort, utilize the company power to help your staff.
Completely agree.
Ways you can do that without big spend, but it, you know, $20 here, $20 there, it will all add up for your staff when interest rates are going up. That's I guess the main thing.
So there's a couple of references we put there, everyone, so we'll put them in the show notes and lots to sort of digest there, and as we go through, because this is going to be in the news a lot, and we'll probably delve back into the old interest rates and cost of living crisis and whatever, but it is, I think, something to think away. And I thought that, you know, the lenses that Dave you've come up there was really, really good to think about your own personal situation for the business or lending and your own mortgage rates and that sort of stuff, how it affects your consumers, but also how do you make the most of it. So think along those lines. That's our episode today. Thanks. Dave, make sure, if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. We're on the main channels. And if you have any questions or things you want us to go over or questions in general, you can contact us through social media or marketing@rightway.co.nz. So goodbye, everyone.
See ya.